You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, Ross on Wye. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Teach us to number our days so we can apply our hearts to wisdom and gain a heart of understanding. That we all are finite, that we only have so many days. And it's important. It's sort of like, that verse speaks to me of urgency. It speaks to me of time is of the essence. And we looked in group, there's a message in John, a verse in John 9 verse 1, I think, or John 1 verse 9. And it says, if God gives you something to do, do it quickly. Remember the old adverts of act on impulse. You know, when God speaks to you, don't waste time. Karis's dad used to have this thing, delayed obedience is disobedience. But if God speaks to you, act on impulse. Always trust your instincts. Always trust your heart. Why should you trust your heart? Because you have a new heart. Because you're God's people. Because you've been given a new heart. Because you are a new creation. Because you have been changed. You are new. That you have made new. There will be all sorts of things that crowd in and try and take that away from you, but you are a new creation. Christ in you has changed you. You have transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That's who you are. The old has gone. Somebody might want to try and remind you of the past and the old you, but actually, there's a newness that is in you now. You're walking in a newness that God has given you. You're a new creation. But the thing is with God, he doesn't force his way into your life. He won't break his way into you, but he'll call for you and he'll wait for an invitation. He'll wait for an invitation. I think some of us tend to think that we'd like to be filled with the Spirit and we would be totally different people than we actually are. But I don't believe God works that way. What he does is he comes in on invitation and he partners with us and he uses us. Because he's created you in God's image. Why would he take you over? He doesn't need to take you over. He created you, and you are in God's image. I love that passage that says, you will seek me, you will find me when you seek. Do I need to move somewhere else? Sorry, okay. You will seek me. Start again. You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in. The emphasis on the will. I will come in. And for most of us, he has come in. He is in you. Christ is in you. You are baptized in his Spirit. You are filled with his presence. That is what your heart is. I love those songs. It'd be great to go back and look at some of the verses, some of the words that we've just sung. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Do you know what? Your eyes have been opened. You do see him. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't. You do. He speaks to you. You're his creation. You're his son. You're his daughter. He loves you. Your name is written on the palm of his hand. You are always before him. I love the cricket. I love it in the cricket when they, at Lord's, they have a board. And they sort of puts your name on the board, goes on the board if you score 100 runs. We get 5 wickets in a game. You know, we don't have to earn anything. We don't have to achieve anything for our names to be written on the palm of God's hand. You are always before him. You are created wherever you are created in his image and he loves you. And he's not looking for a performance, but he's looking for a partnership, for a relationship with us. We are so blessed of God. How amazing that we get to live this life and we get to live it together with this expanding revelation, this growing revelation of God's goodness and kindness. I can't believe sometimes just how good God is and how much he's shown me of himself. And I, you know, it's when you look back on a journey, isn't it? You see how far you've come. And I can remember when I first turned to the Lord or when I made that commitment, you know, I was about 13, it was on the hill of, you know, in the Lake District. And it was, for me, it wasn't just like this amazing moment. It was I'd been brought up in a Christian home. I knew about God. God had been in my life from life's first breath, almost.
because my parents love God. And so I was in church from day one. But there comes a point when you've got to make that decision. And it just seemed like, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to live this life of goodness and of kindness and of gentleness when you can see so much wrong in the world? And why is it so wrong? Because there isn't kindness, because there isn't goodness, because there isn't gentleness. But that gentleness, that kingdom of God, is just the most beautiful and the most amazing place to be. Why wouldn't you choose that and choose life and choose to live under the blessing of somebody that loves you and guards your heart and guards your mind and guards your steps? Why wouldn't you want to do that? Taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to read a scripture that we started with last week, and it's come back to me through a couple of different things this week. We started last week to talk about the journey, and I was talking about the guys on the river. There was a lot of canoes setting off on trips, lots of people on trips, and it just brought this passage to my mind, because this passage is an invitation for us. It's to an invitation to a life that is led by the Spirit. And I believe that we as a church are being called more and more and deeper into the things of the Spirit. Because we can come to church, we can read the word, we can listen to sermons, we can do all of that. But actually, life is given to us. The life of the Holy Spirit is dwelling and indwelling with us. And all the facets and all the gifts and everything that he has to offer, we need to embrace. I'm just going to read this passage. In my vision, this is in Ezekiel 47. In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right side of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gate and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Remember, the temple is where God's presence is. The temple is where God dwells. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 533 meters. We could say cubits, but we know what meters are. And then he led me across the water. It was up to my ankles. He measured off another 533 meters and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 533 meters, it was up to my waist. And then he measured another 533 meters. And the river was too deep to walk. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. And then he asked me, "Have you been watching, son of man?" And he led me back along the riverbank. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on the sides, both sides of the river. Then he said to me, "This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea." This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever this water flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from Engedi to Eglaim. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and the swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food, and the leaves will be for the healing of the nations. This is such a great picture. The Dead Sea. For this sea in Israel is just completely salty. It's dead. Nothing can live there. It is so dead. And yet, this was a picture for those living in that place. And yet, the river of the Holy Spirit brings life. The freedom where the Spirit is able to move and able to roam and able to go brings life wherever it goes. It changes deadness into life. It brings things that are dead into life. It brings hope. It brings freedom. It brings restoration. But it changes. Remember a few weeks ago, we were talking about the Valley of the Dry Bones and about the breath. And this time, the picture is a river of the Holy Spirit. There's an invitation for us, and there's a choice. Choose today. Let's choose this day. Do we paddle in the shallows? God is gentle, and he leads us. But do we want to paddle in the shadows? Do we want to go up to our knees? Do we want to walk around at waist height? Or do we want to be fully immersed with everything that we have at his beck and call, filled with the Spirit, guided by the Spirit? We need to dive into the flow of the current, into the hands of the good, good Father. The future that he has for you, the future that he has for us, it's the best. Why would we want to hold back? When we look at all the promises, all the truth that God speaks over our lives in his living word, why would we hold back? Why would we not going to give everything that we have? You know, I believe as individuals, as a church, God is calling us into this unknown. He's calling us into this journey. And it's maybe a bit scary and it's maybe a bit, I don't know. But why wouldn't you want to go? Why would you sit on the sidelines? He's calling us to take part in this journey, to share in this transformation of bringing life, not only into our own lives, but into the dead places where we go, into our families, into our workplaces, into Tudorville, into Ross-on-Wye, into Uganda, into all the other countries that we're linked to, into South Africa and India and where else? Brazil, Hungary. You know, we have people from all over the world, Tanzania. We're part of this river. We're part of bringing life into all these areas. This is the assignment. This is what we were created for. We're created in the image of God to carry his presence. I'm created in the image of God to carry his presence. You are created in the image of God to carry his presence, filled with the Spirit to change the world around us. You know, I think we saw that this week in Ledbury. I was blown over on Wednesday. We went to prayer walk around Ledbury to support Claire. Obviously, Claire's going through a really tough time with her dad being ill, but it was really good to go. We're looking to plant a church in Ledbury. We're looking not just to plant the church. We're looking to bring life. We're looking to bring hope. We're looking to bring kindness. We're looking to bring love. And we're looking to bring the love of God and people's hearts and eyes opened to this incredible gift that we've been given. When we got to the, some of us, we split up and some of us walked up into the churchyard and, you know, there's a bell tower there and there was a flag on the bell tower and it was really still and it was just hanging limp. And after we'd been praying for a while, you know, the wind got up and you could see the flag beginning to fly. And I just really felt, you know, this is the Holy Spirit, that when we pray, when you pray, things happen. You know, how many times have I said the prayers of the righteous do what? They achieve much. Your prayers, your words change things. Not because they're our words, but because it's Christ in us. It's the overflow of the Holy Spirit. It's God working within us. And I thought, we've got the picture. Thank you. This is great. This is the church. I can't remember the name of the church. St. Michael's of some, yes. St. Michael's. So this is the church. And I just thought, I've got to take this picture. You can't see it very well, so I apologise for that. But on this tower, there's a weather vane. And what an incredible picture of who we are, that we move with the Spirit, that when the wind changes, when God changes direction, when he's moving in a new direction, we need to be pliable, we need to be easily moved, and we need to be confident that when we move, it's God in us, that it's Christ in us, that you are God's people, that you hear his heart, that you pick up when the Spirit speaks and when he guides you and talks to you. You hear that voice. My sheep know my voice. We've got to act on impulse. We've got to act on the Holy Spirit. I think we're always so afraid of doing the wrong thing, but actually, we should be far more confident that God speaks to you. God speaks to you, but we need to move. But the other thing about that is, I love the fact that, does anybody know why they always put a cockerel on top of a church roof? Oh, come on. Oh, well, I know, but I did look it up. Because it's about the new day. It's about a new dawn. It's about a fresh start, that every day that you look up and know there's a resurrection coming and a new day dawning. But I love the fact that it's always about a new day and a fresh start. But the other thing about this, and you might be able to see it just there, but this particular cockerel, there's a conduit. It acts also as a lightning conductor, a lightning rod, and you'll see that there's an earth wire that goes all, but I guess a bit of copper, that goes all the way from the top to conduct the lightning, the power of the lightning. And I just felt we are conduits of God's grace and God's goodness and his power. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, that the power of God is displayed in Jesus, the Lamb. And, you know, we get all excited and a bit jingoistic about the lion, and the lion's great. But actually, the Lamb of God is where the power is. It's in sacrifice, and it's in love, and it's in kindness, and it's in goodness, and it's in serving and loving. But we are conduits of God's grace. And I just felt that as we pray, things change. And, sorry, I'm getting a bit choked up now. As we were praying, JP said, felt that he is not here today, otherwise I got him to share, was that this place would be somewhere where people are hungry and need to come and eat, and need to come and eat of the goodness of God and understand the word and get filled by God's word and the spiritual, the Christian message of hope and of love. And as we were praying, two girls came into the churchyard and sat down and started eating. I thought, well, what a sign. That's incredible. And so we just carried on praying. And then unbeknownst to us, Barbara and Eniko came back into the churchyard. They'd been somewhere else and actually started talking to these girls. And you prayed for them, I think, didn't you? And we prayed for them and just sharing the goodness of God and the message of God. And then JP came along afterwards, I think, and prophesied over them. But I thought that was such an incredible picture of us as a church, as individuals. We have so much. We are full with so much. But we are the conduits for people to hear the message, to hear the good news, to be bringers of hope, because people need to feed on hope. Our willingness, in a sense, to be in that place and to be those people are the things that attract God's attention and the things that will attract his word. If we're faithful and share and speak and recognize and pray for and offer ourselves, then we will attract the voice of God, and there will be more opportunities, and there will be chances where we will see transformation in Tudorville, in Ross, at home, at work. But let's be aware of that. And sometimes speaking to people, whatever, it's not our natural thing, and it can be a bit scary. But the thing that I liked about that passage in Ezekiel is the fact that it says, you know, he led me into the shallows, you know, just knee deep. It's a step at a time, and it's a journey, and it's a growth. He will lead us gently into this space. So wherever you are, or you feel you are on that journey, that's not the end. That isn't where you're going to stay, because God isn't finished with you yet. God is going to keep moving you and moving you on. I had a situation. I'm not the best. I had a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, I knew I should have prayed for somebody. A customer that came into work, he's had a stroke. And I thought, I need to pray for him. And then I'm thinking, there's a voice in the back saying, is this appropriate? You know, you're at work. Is this? So I didn't. But I know I didn't, because my heart is tuned to God. and I know that he speaks to me. And I may be in the shallows and I may be up to my knees, but I know I'm on the journey because I'm going to be fully immersed and I'm going to fully trust and fully know. And it's not a condemnation, oh, you should have done that. No, it's a gentle, come on, next time we'll give it a go. And there's been other opportunities for me. So, do you know, we are so much more powerful than we think we are. And I just reminded, for those of you that keep abreast of these things, you know that Benny Johnson, Bill's wife, has died this week. And so there's lots of stories flying around about her. And one of the ones that spoke to me more than anything was the fact that she had ordered on the internet a little dagger for some talk point of view or whatever. And so she'd ordered this little dagger, but actually when it arrived, what arrived was a 6-foot sword. And it's, do you know, I think, remember John's sword? He brought it here, didn't he? I'm not sure that was quite appropriate in a park, but I mean, you are so much more powerful. The weapons that you have at your disposal are far more powerful than you think they are. Which brings me on to my favorite verse, but I'll share that in a bit. Just a couple, I'll bring this to land, because we're gonna be short. One of the other things I wanted to talk about, and we haven't got the pictures out today. One of our pictures, or one of our pillars that we usually have around here is growth. And as a church, that we are a church that's looking to grow. And with this time of year, I mean, everything's going crazy growing, isn't it? It's just reaching up. Mainly in our garden, it's the weeds. But I mean, they are just, oh my goodness, amazing. Thankfully, the grass doesn't grow too much at this time of year, but the weeds, they just never stop, which is probably the wrong thing to say at this minute. But I'm just, the whole thing about photosynthesis, do you remember that, doing that at school? These guys should be able to tell us what photosynthesis is. They're probably learning it right now, or Max probably knows. But remember how it works. It's tiny pockets of energy, photons, leave the sun. They travel 93 million miles in 8 minutes from the sun, science lesson over, and it's the process by which plants and other things use sunlight to synthesize nutrients from carbon dioxide and water. And as they grow, not only do they grow, but they also emit oxygen. And I just felt that God was saying to us that we need to reach out to him with everything that we've got, you know. The light, Jesus says that he is the light of the world. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. In the beginning, the world already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God and God created everything through him. Nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And this, his life, brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. By absorbing the light, by focusing on Jesus, the author and perfecter, it says, of our faith, that we get to change the atmosphere, that we don't produce oxygen, but we produce a spiritual oxygen that brings life, that actually emits life to those that are around us. Just as Jesus brought life, when we focus on him, when we grow, when we reach out to him, the byproduct of what we do, the byproduct of our lives is oxygen, is a means of life for others, that gives people that opportunity, that changes the atmosphere where we are, that changes the atmosphere here, that changes the atmosphere at home and at work. That oxygen that you breathe out is the thing that changes the world around us. You know, we are so much more powerful than we think we are. God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. We're from another place, that we're in the heavenly realms, that we're actually in two places at once. You know, quantum physics, I was listening to something a few weeks ago, They were talking about quantum physics and quantum computers, that things actually can exist in two places at the same time. And yet, the Bible makes it quite clear that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ, but we're also down here. That we exist on two spheres, that we exist in heaven, that we exist in this heavenly realm, and we also exist on earth and in this place. I don't know whether some of you have seen, there's some pictures come out this week from the James Webb Telescope. Has anyone seen that? It's been all over the news. We got some pictures of it there. But the thing that just amazed me was the fact that we're seeing light that set off on a journey. Was it 13 billion years ago? So these photos, brand new to us, but they're 13 billion years old. So there's been 13 billion years of other things happening out there by the time we get to see it. And it just helped me, in a sense, just picture that whole thing about being in two places at the same time. And that whole thing about us, I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? Well, you know, we are the first generation to see this deeply into space and to see this. Mankind has never seen this stuff before, and it's amazing. But it's always been there. It's always been there. Just because we don't feel it, or we don't see it, doesn't mean that it's not there. It is there. And I just, it, in a sense, it just brings that whole presence of God into our lives, that he's always there. We may not see it, but he's always there. And we're on this journey, and we're moving, and we're seeing, but we are in two spaces. We are unified with Christ. We're seated in Christ. Well, it says in the Bible, doesn't it? When you loose on earth what is loosed in heaven. When we're praying, when we've got our spiritual eyes open, and when we're in heaven and we're seated with Christ, we actually are wielding that sword. You might think it's the dagger, but actually, in the spiritual realm, it's a sword. It is mighty. The weapons you fight with are not the weapons of this world. They have divine power to demolish strongholds and arguments and everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And so we need to captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, obedient to his rule, obedient to heaven, obedient to the rule of the kingdom, which is far superior. So we might see what we see now, but actually way, way in that other place is something completely maybe different. We need to live in the reality of where Jesus is and what Jesus says about you, and live in obedience to that. I just feel that there is so much more for us, that there's always more. And I just really believe that God is leading us into a season where he wants to fill us with his Spirit, where he wants us to live in another dimension. And, you know, it implores us in the scripture. It says, crave, is it in 1 Peter? It talks to us about craving spiritual milk. And it talks about craving the things of God. And, you know, there's a question for us. How hungry are we for God? How hungry are we for seeking out him? How hungry are we to open our hearts? When was the last time I was so excited to read the word? I think we're so fortunate in worship. It is the most amazing place to be, when you're speaking truth and speaking from that other place over your life and over the lives of those that are around us and the situations we're in, whether it's a visa, you know, whether it's family away, whether it's children and finance or whatever. Because God puts all of these things into perspective in this other realm. And the great part is we get to do this not just individually, but we do it together. That when we're together as church, when we're together as one body, it says, that we lift one another, that we build one another, and that we're not meant to do this journey on our own. We're created for relationship. We're created for relationship together. And we're created for a relationship with our Lord Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we can come boldly into his presence like children. And he's got a whole host of stuff that he wants to download into your life. Dreams, ministries. I really believe that God is going to begin to start birthing new things and new desires in us. And I just really encourage you, if you don't read your Bible that often, read the Word of God. Speak to somebody. Pray with somebody. Accountability has a really bad vibe in churches, I think. And it's usually, if you want to be held accountable for something you've done wrong, and that is totally skewed, because actually, in my mindset and in this church, accountability to us is actually making sure that we all maximize to full our potential in Jesus, that we are filled to all the measure of the fullness. Because God has created you for incredible things. He's created you. You are created. I can't get over this. You are created. We are created in his image. He's created us for great things. He has created us to carry his presence. My passion is that we all move in all that God has given for us and made available to us. And we max out on as much as we possibly can. Not just for ourselves, but for our community, that we begin to emit, that change that atmosphere of and bring in that oxygen and that new life and that new hope. That's what all this is about. We're the hands and feet of God. And he's desperate to help us and to move within us. I'm going to pray. I think we'll... Lord, we just want to thank you that you've got everything covered. We just want to thank you that you know us, that you know my name, that you know each of us that are here today, that our names, it says, are written on the palms of your hand, that we are always before you because you created us, that you have made us perfect, that Lord, that we would see ourselves as you see us, as perfect, as holy, as worthy, as people that are precious. Lord, that when you made each one of us, that you threw away the mold because you made us unique. And we are all incredibly special, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, that we are so special to you. And Lord, I just pray that you would begin to open our hearts and our minds to understand how rich we are in what you've done within us. And Lord, the way that you want to fill our lives, I thank you that it does say in your word, it says, I stand at the door and knock at your life. If you would just open the door, I will come in. And we won't just talk, but we'll eat together. And you will eat of the richest of fare. And that you will download into our lives so much goodness and kindness and gifts and your Holy Spirit. You just want us to be fully immersed and in the current of your love. That's what you promise. That is what you promise. Oh Lord, I thank you that you bring a peace, which isn't the absence of trouble, but that you bring peace in the midst of trouble. When our foundation and our confidence and our hope come from you, and from trusting in you, that Almighty God, creator of the world, creator of the universe. Quite often, reminded so often of, there's that verse that says about God singing a melody over our lives, and that he's singing over you, and he's singing over you right now. And he's not singing words of disdain or wagging the finger, but he's singing words of love, and he's singing words of hope and of purpose for the future. Oh Lord, I just pray that in this space, We want to create room for you to move. We want to create room for you to move by your Holy Spirit to inhabit. It says you inhabit the praises of your people. And I believe, Lord, that you've inhabited this morning, that you're here. And I just pray that you would begin to speak and that you would begin to move, that you would begin to tune our ears into the other realm that hears that song, into the heavenly space, into the heart, into our souls, where you speak and you minister and where you change things and when you whisper, and you whisper that I'll never leave you, you'll never be alone, that I'll walk with you every step of the way and I'll gently lead you and I'll guide you. You need have no fear, because my perfect love drives out fear. But instead of that fear will be a confidence and a courage and a steadfastness that is rooted and grounded in understanding that you're precious and loved and known, but are here for purpose.